Zach is gonna get it. Ow! Is he ever gonna get it? Oh, not this time. Zach is gonna kick his butt, yeah, he's dead. Yes, Richie is gonna get it. Richie Novak's gonna get it. Ouch! Maybe Blandy will protect him. Don't hurt him, please. Zach's the manliest of them, and good luck. Zach will wipe the damn floor with him.
Named Wes when he came to Pine Valley. He was kind of nice, but also creepy. Now he's totally f***ed in the head. In a bomb shelter, love Zach and Green's for dead. Richie was an evil brother to Boring Blandy. He burned her puppy, but he ripped off on her, and now she's a little crazy. And now she's stalking Grimly.
Richie Nova's gonna get it. My Lily, is he ever gonna get it? He's dead. Zach is gonna smash his head and had a chance to apologize. Richie Novak's gonna get it, he's gone soon. His contract ain't even up yet, too bad. Richie Novak's gonna get it, but think he'll get residuals.
Richie Novak's gonna get it. Zach, the manliest of manly men, is gonna give him what for. And even though I love me some Billy Miller, I can't wait to see it.
This week on All My Children, Zach goes to give Richie what for, and then drips over his manly testicles.
Angie decides that she might want to join a new religion, Santeria.
Kobe wins tonight's Emmys for this year's most dead behind the eyes.
And Josh kissed Greenlee on the cheek, and that was still way hotter than Adam kissing Greenlee on the lips. All this week on the Pine Valley Podcast.
Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I am your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And this is the podcast for the Emmy-winning week ending Friday, June 20th, 2008.
Woo! 2008 Emmys.
2008 Emmys. Way to go. Did we watch them? No.
Well, we haven't watched them yet, but we got the winners. We know who the winners are.
We got some scoops.
Best writing and directing went to One Life to Live. Yay! I was so happy. I mean, I really thought they should have took home Best Soap, but you know what? I'm almost sure next year they got it in the bag. They got it in the bag. Because in case you haven't been listening to the podcast, I've been telling Ashley she needs to watch One Life to Live, and we got to change this to the Landview podcast.
I know. I've been trying, Bobby.
We would do a podcast every day if we were doing One Life to Live, because you could not miss an episode of One Life to Live.
You would have to.
So much happens in 1 week on One Life to Live than happens like the whole month on All My Children. It's amazing to me.
It is so true.
I'm riveted. You don't even know what happened this week on One Life to Live. It was so fabulous.
Why don't you share some of the highlights, Jordan?
Oh my god, David Vickers married Dorian's crazy sister. That was hysterical. And Cassie DeBiver's reaction, who plays Blair, her daughter, when she arrived. I mean, Dorian, David Vickers, Addie and Blair, they were hysterical.
For those of you who do not watch One Life to Live, Cassie DePaiva's character, Blair, has a mother named Addie who's like off her rocker. She's like Janet from another planet.
Yeah, she's Dorian's older sister.
And David Vickers, Dorian's ex-husband. of questionable.
He's a snake. He's a con artist.
He's
like a young Langley Wallingford.
In more ways than one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sexual orientation.
Woo!
He was gay as a $3 bill.
He had a kid.
No, you know he was gay, right?
He has a kid.
The actor that played him. Come on, in real life,
he had a kid.
That don't mean nothing.
I know. Look at. Why did you say that?
No, we're going to get sued. He sues people.
He didn't sue Chelsea Handler.
He sued Dr. Drew.
He didn't sue Chelsea Handler.
He had his lawyer call Dr. Drew. Because Dr. Drew said he was crazy for believing in Scientology. I swear to God, you cannot say nothing about. You can't say it.
Okay, anyway, getting back to One Life to Live.
So that's the story, right? And it's hysterical because it reminds me, for those of y'all who watch 30 Rock, it reminds me of the Will Arnett character who married Kathy.
Yeah.
the NBC head guys. What's his name again?
Oh, I forgot. Oh my God, I know you're talking about that.
Yeah,
was,
the head guy.
I love me some 30 Rock.
Oh my God, I love 30 Rock. It's funny. Anyway, it's a good show. It's a good show.
What, 30 Rock?
No, One Life to Live.
Oh, yeah. And then Tina's back. The original Tina, Andrea Evans.
So good.
Who is so good. Let me tell you something.
A master.
It's like she never left. And they know how to write the character. The character's being written the same. She is crazy, ditzy, always getting into trouble, has not been back in town for like one episode, and she's already in the midst of all this drama.
She could play that character in her sleep.
And she has her little dog, which is named David Vickers, after her ex-husband, because she was married to David Vickers, too. She is going around town.
The guy who plays David Vickers now?
Yes, that's... Well, no, when David Vickers was married to Tina, Krista Tesoro from Guiding Light was playing
Tina.
Okay,
yeah, I was going to say.
But the character Tina was married. So it's just funny because...
He seems much younger than her.
Who?
The new David Vickers.
Yes, he is much younger than her, I think. Not by much, but some, yeah. But it's so funny because she's calling him David Vickers. Her daughter, Sarah's like... You named your dog David Vickers. She's like, yeah. She goes, he has a little wet nose just like David did.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
Let me tell you something.
That is so brilliant.
No,
I love it.
Ron C. is the greatest writer because he brings humor. There is humor on the show. There's drama. And just for you guys to know, the teens on One Life to Live are fabulous.
Yeah,
Star
absolutely.
And Cole and their little friend Langford,
great
that little mulatto boy. I don't know what nationality is.
Oh my God,
those kids are acting their ass off, and they have really good storylines and meaty storylines. Star decided this week that she did not want to be a parent. And of course, that did not sit well with Cole because he does not want to give his child away or give it up. And she's going to give it to Marcy. Oh, my God. See how everybody in town is connected and all the
story?
Let me tell you, I am so looking forward to the 40th anniversary because he has so much stuff planned. And there are so many rumors flying about certain people coming back to the show. I cannot wait. I'm loving me some One Life to Live right now.
I know a lot of people probably thought it was like a sort of coward's way out to like not have Star have an abortion, but I actually think it was the best choice ever because it allows for so many more story possibilities.
Yeah.
You know,
but
and also too with them girls, you hear about them 12 girls, them 12 high school girls.
Oh, yeah.
They had a pact and they all got pregnant.
Yes, I was hearing about that. Some crazy. Where was that? Did they say where it was?
I thought it was back here in my neighborhood.
Those girls don't plan to get pregnant. They just get pregnant.
That's true.
They don't need no pack.
They
don't need no pack. It just happens. But seriously, though, but you're right. I have to agree with you. See, that is a great... See, this is great writing when you have, like, a story idea because to just have her have an abortion, which, again, there's nothing wrong with that kind of a storyline, but General Hospital did it beautifully a year and a half ago with Lulu Spencer.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's been done. And I think...
Erica had done it once.
It didn't take, though, obviously, because Josh is running around town. But, you're right. The possibilities are more now because the fact that she wants to give it to Marcy, who was raising her father, Todd's illegitimate child, who Todd ripped from her. This is what I'm talking about, thinking about long-term goals and what's going to happen and the ramifications.
That is deep, people.
And the same thing with Nash's death. The trailers for next week, when they show the coming trailers for next week, because Jessica finds out from her father, Clint, that they're not pressing charges against Jared, who killed
Nash. Oh, because of Natalie.
And, oh, my God. And Jessica was like, and Bree, oh, my God, Bree's going to get an Emmy nomination
still,
next year.
Well, see, I'm...
I love me some Bree.
I don't know what podcast this is right now, but since we talk about One Life to Live, I'm going to say one thing.
What?
And you are going to slap the hell out of me.
What?
I thought Bree was crying too much.
Whatever. Her husband's dead. She could cry as much as she wants.
Listen, I think she should cry, but I need to understand what you're saying. You know what I'm saying?
She is not talking like Adam. Don't even give me that.
But I did it. It was like, I want to love the Nash, my baby. Set up on the baby, Nash. Hey, go for the baby.
You can understand her, okay? She's not like Adam. She could understand her. And wait,
You can't compare that to Miss Angie Hubbard on Jesse's deathbed. You understood every word she said. It was crystal clear. And then when he died, then she let loose and cried and went crazy. We just was like,
then Clint and Bo found out that their real brother is David Vickers. I was, oh, the look on their face when Natalie told them. I was just like, I gotta tell you, see, this is what all my children is missing. Because, you know, you can go days on all my children without, like.
Can I just tell you something, what? Viewers? I'm going to tell you something. This is how much Jordan Hudson loves One Life to Live. He is grabbing my hand. He just had his hand between my legs, gripping. I was like, what are you doing, Jordan?
But wait, it gets better. I want
better
to
than
announce-
you with your hand?
Yes.
pants.
Listen, I want to announce that we need to stop with the Australians and the Brits coming to Pine Valley and Landview and Port Charles.
Hi, what do you talk about?
First of all, I don't believe that anybody from Britain and Australia wants to go to a little small town in Pine Valley. So,
but there's no horse of Adam.
I say get rid of Adam, and I want some Canadians on my soap opera.
Oh, I know.
Terry and Toronto. About. Girl, I'm MVP. Moving to Canada.
MVP.
You know,
MVP world.
You guys gave us Celine Dion, and we forgive you for that, but you gave us so much more better things. You gave us Shania, Alanis.
And now?
Tales of Avonlea, Sarah Pauly, Rachel McAdams, Rachel McAdams is, I want her to be the mother of my children. I think she's gorgeous. But now you have given us MVP.
Slings and Arrows. You forgot about
Slings and Arrows.
And Kids in the Hall.
Kids in the Hall. And now you have given us MVP.
Bum, bum, ba.
And I'm telling you, I saw MVP last night on SoapNet, MVP. And I was dying. It is exactly what a soap opera should be. A lot MVP. Of hot guys and girls running around town.
MVP got a 4.2 out of 10 stars on IMDb.
It got,
and that's just fine with Jordan Hudson.
It got 100 stars in my book because I loved it. You know what? I was rooting for the Virgin. The hot hockey player wants the Virgin, and she's so sweet. The girl who plays the Virgin, I love her. You gotta watch
it. She's very virginal.
She's a virgin, but it's the. You know what soaps are missing now? They're missing that romance. That's what we want to see. We want to see the romance. We want to see.
I want to see romance.
We want to see the hot guy going for the nerdy virgin girl. I want to see the young rookie, you know, torn between, because you know he's going to fall in love with that other girl and that slutty girlfriend from his hometown who his mother don't like. Ooh. And she's a slutty girl.
I want to see the young, beautiful, dark-haired man with the leading man potential that used to actually have a storyline that doesn't have one bed the gorgeous, reborn prima donna.
You mean the real Greenlee? Yeah.
The real Greenlee.
Oh, the real Greenlee.
The real Greenlee.
Well,
I'm Greenlee.
Well, speaking of which,
I miss Sabine. Rebecca is too hard to imitate.
Oh, you have fun imitating Sabine.
It's true. Do you know that when Al Gore ran against George Bush, all the comedians were rooting for George Bush because he's more fun to imitate? That's how I feel about Sabine. She's more fun to imitate.
But you do a good Greenlee.
I created Rhapsody in Red.
Where's Auntie Julia?
Oh, that's
the one I imitate.
I never heard Kathy say that.
Now all I got to do is go, hi, Daddy.
Hi, Daddy.
Hi. She calls him Daddy. You said it. You were telling me she calls him Daddy too quick.
I think it's weird.
All right. Well, you know.
Let's talk about it. I want to talk about it.
We got to. Let's talk about it. We're going to get into it. But you know what? I was telling you. You know what my problem with all my children right now is?
Okay.
It is hard for me to get invested in what's going on right now because I know that this is all going out the window because new writers are coming on.
Chuck Pratt, people. Chuck Pratt.
I mean, and you were telling me, your source was telling you that the cast is happy about this.
I have a source.
She has a source, too.
I'm going to let you in on little secrets.
Go ahead.
This cast could not be happier about Chuck Pratt coming on board.
Obviously, they have not IMDb him.
They are pleased as punch.
They're crazy.
Sometimes I wonder if we live in alternate reality from what these people live in. Because we're seeing something that's sort of working. We don't say it's perfect.
No, it's not perfect, you know? But it's better than what we had last year.
It is much better than what we had last year. There's some nice human real moments.
And there were some really good moments this week.
Tuesday there were some good moments.
Tuesday, Thursday, Friday were my favorite.
Too bad
episode.
None of them were between Tad and Katie.
I like Tad and Kate these
Listen,
scenes.
I don't
we, we're going to disagree a lot to this week.
We talked a little bit before the show.
We talked a little before the show. We are not the eye to eye on a lot of things.
We agree because I think that there is no way in heck that you put this amazingly bright little girl in this situation and she's all well adjusted in 2 days. And like playing house with Tad and calling him daddy. I think it's sick and weird and disgusting. And if it was a real kid, like Star is a real kid on One Life to Live, Kathy would be raising some tantrums. She'd be fussy. She'd be moody. She'd be sullen.
But see, if they
and
do...
And it gives Tad something to do. I think even Michael Knight feels weird about being instant family with this girl.
Yeah, but you know what? If they did that, then they'd have to write.
You're right.
And I...
So
I,
don't you agree a little bit with me, Jordan Hudson?
No, I agree with you, but you have to understand something. It seems like soap writers in general do not really want to write really solid, deep material. I give credit for the
few
they
always write perfect kids. That's
you know,
true.
Guiding Light... You know, the only thing on Guiding Light right now that's working is Cassie still mourning her daughter. That's some dark stuff. But it seems like a lot of soaps want to stay away. They want to go for that fluffy, over-the-top, you know, crazy stuff. Not that deep stuff. You know, they don't mind, like, having a serial killer coming around killing all the women in Pine Valley. But God forbid we get a meaty story about a custody battle. God forbid we get a meaty story. Like, I...
God forbid you get an ADD kid.
Or something like that.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, let's...
Or a less than perfect child.
Let's talk about... Because you brought this up. This will give us a good segue into one of our storylines this week. Let's start with Jesse and Angie. Because they had a good week. And this was realistic. This was realistic.
Angela!
Oh, I could do it too. Angela!
Not as good as you,
I know. No, nobody's as good as Ashley with invitation. But look,
all right, fine.
But this was a perfect example because you know what? They got into an argument, which I was like, it's about time.
I'm going to call. See, this is the thing, though. We're going to have a new meter. We used to have the slut metric because we actually used to have sex on a program.
Uh-huh.
Since that don't happen no more, or if it does, we don't see it because I did not see Josh and Greeley make love.
I certainly did not see enough of that.
I want to see clothes ripping off. I want to see necks being licked. I want to see the whole kit and caboodle. I don't want to see her looking into the camera saying, oh, no, stop. And then the next morning they wake up. That ain't nothing to think about. That ain't nothing.
I think we deserve a flashback.
Something. Something.
I think Josh should like one day be at his office looking at his desk and just remembering how they did it.
But I'm gonna say one thing.
What?
We need a new meter. We gotta come up with a name for the BS meter.
The BS meter?
Yes. Because I'm gonna say one thing.
What?
I love me some Jesse. I love me some Angela. But when those two fight, they go from 0 to 220, and I think it's a little over the top sometimes.
I don't. I love
it. You never get tired of Angie being crazy?
No, because it makes perfect sense. She lost. I understand both sides.
I know, but she gets a little nuts.
I know, but it was a well-written, funny scene. I will say
Jesse
this.
Jesse says to her, Angie, you know, I'm thinking of becoming a cop again. And she says, what? What are you talking about, Jesse? All these years I suffered for you. I'm not going to come home to a dead husband again. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, but you know what? I loved it. It was fabulous. You know
but
what? Because
but that happened in like 2 seconds.
And you know what? Because they've had this conversation before. And he's bringing it up yet again. And she already said how she felt. Oh, I was feeling that storyline. Let me tell you this. The two of them were so... It was so good times. I was loving it. I thought I was watching Florida, her husband going at it like on Good Times.
I thought I was watching a Santeria ceremony. I was waiting for her to cut off a chicken's head.
For those of you who don't know, Santeria is a religion from the islands, like in Caribbean islands
our
and
people,
Puerto Rican,
the
our
Haitians.
People and the Haitians. And they tend to all wear white. But I don't think she was in all white. I think her little headband had some color.
They wear that almost exact same
I know,
outfit.
That same look
they
and stuff.
They wear the flowy white skirt.
She looked very sad
with the white shoes and the white sweater. They cover. It's interesting because they cover everything. Like
they do cover everything.
Covered,
and she was
but
covered.
But it's white. But it's still, it form-fitting.
It was all white. But I was
it was a Santeria outfit to a T.
I just wanted her to go, give you a tango. Give you a tango. Give you a tango. If she would have done that, I would have been on the floor. I love the fight. I thought the fight was really good. And
yeah,
I love
her fighting them bug-eye glasses.
No, that was annoying. I don't understand why she has shades on.
And she had these like big oversized bug-eye glasses. And she was trying to fight with Jesse in these bug-eye glasses.
You could not see her eyes. But their fight was realistic, and I liked the fact that he mentioned about why I knew it wasn't going to be all happy for the you know rest of our lives. Is the honeymoon was over? They were going
at
it.
She said to him that this was the same job that made you cheat on me with Yvonne.
We've been telling you something. When she brought up Yvonne, I was like, "Girl, you're grasping at straws."
Even Jesse was like, "Huh?" He was like my dog Gucci where she has a high pitched sound. He could not believe his ears.
Yeah, but you know what?
He had to go like this. He had to check for wax.
But that was, see, that's what makes it a realistic fight, because when you're fighting, you're angry, you be throwing out everything in the kitchen sink when you're mad at somebody. You bring up everything they ever did wrong, and that's what I thought was realistic, because she went for it. She brought him up, and that's why he was like, girl, you're grasping at straws.
He said to her, baby, being the chief of police ain't nothing like cheating on you.
I know.
I was like, damn straight, babe.
The two of them were. That was straight. I was loving that.
And of course, it was on location in the oceanfront.
Yes.
What is going on with that? That's a very popular. One of our bloggers noted that that is a very popular attraction.
And you know what I like about it? Have you noticed how that looks like the same club that they used to have a set of? Remember, like about a year and a half ago, they used to all go to that set that was supposed to be like the yacht club, tennis club thing.
I don't remember.
Is it the same thing?
No, I don't think so.
But it looks the same. I think it looks exactly the same.
I thought of you, and what? I loved it when Jesse brought up her father.
Oh, yes. See, that's what I'm saying. The fight was good.
That was good. That was good.
They were bringing up stuff from the past. Because look, this is what I always thought. I thought, as much as I understand that they loved each other and to get reunited, but the realistic thing is, it has been 20 years. And you got to get adjusted to a person. She's not the same person, and he's not the same person. And this is why I like these writers, because when they hit it on the nail, they hit it on the nail. And this is good stuff, and now they're leaving.
I believe you mean when they hit the nail on the head.
That's what I said, didn't I?
You mix your metaphors.
Or whatever. I was like, I'm just as upset as Angie was in that episode.
I was laughing, though, when they finally ended their fight and she gets up to leave. She had so many things. She had that headband. She had them glasses. She had a purse. She had a giant picnic basket. She was trying to get it all up.
She was like, oh, you know, I'm so mad at you. You can take this.
She clearly could not grab all of the things that she had on her. Look. And so she made some excuse. She was like, I'm so angry, I can't even pick any of this stuff up.
Look, the Hubbards were having the best week ever, as far as I'm concerned, on All My Children. They were great this week.
It was great. But how could the costume people not know that they made Angie a Santeria?
I don't know. Because they're not Latin, that's why.
She got so crazy with Crystal. First of all, Crystal looked perfect this week. Oh, I love that blue dress.
You know what she looked like? She looked like one of those dolls. She looked like a doll this week in that dress. She was very, like, flawless. Like, the hair, the makeup.
But very 40s, like. She was wearing, like, a cross between, like, a blue. It was a blue shirt dress. It was sort of a cross between, like, a modern shirt dress and, like, a stewardess from the 50s.
Bobby East has been looking fabulous.
She is so fabulous.
She's looking really
great. She is so fabulous.
See, but I like those scenes with her and Angie and Jesse and Tad.
Yeah, I like them.
They were very emotional, and I like the bonding of the friends.
See, again, I gotta be the one to call it the BS here. A little bit of filler, don't you think?
No, I don't. You know why? Because I like these bonding. You're showing that these two women are becoming friends, and that you're showing that Tad and Jesse are still these.
But I always suspect when you have Crystal becoming instant friends with the character of the week.
No, I don't think she's becoming instant friends with her. I think what's happening is, they came back in her life. They were best friends with her husband. So naturally, they're getting to know each other. I think it's been a natural progression with their friendship. I like these two women, like, supporting each other. Two women of a certain age being friends with each other.
You have convinced me, Jordan Hudson.
I didn't find their scenes to be filler at all. I really liked it.
I'll buy
it. Because you know what? What you want Angie talking to herself like they used to do in the old days and soaps? See, that's what I'm saying. You got to have a friend to talk to bounce ideas off of. And I thought that's what was going on. I thought it was very, very good stuff.
All right.
And they have chemistry. I like Crystal with Angie.
Well, I really liked because Tad talked to Jesse, as Jordan said. Crystal talked to Angie. Angie breaks the glass. She gets all upset. Crystal tells her that she's right. Tad tells Jesse he's right. Actually, he didn't. He told her to apologize.
He says to apologize. Because you know what? Because he's giving up his career.
Yeah, absolutely. But what I liked was when, I loved this actually. I adored this. When Jesse, at the end of Thursday's episode, he goes home. And he just hugs Angie and she just hugs him and they just hold each other. And he just looks at her and he says, baby, I took the job. It was good. And Angie looked dumbfounded.
I know. In the next episode, she let him have it.
She let him have it again.
And it got all good times again.
You told me you took this job. I gotta be worried about a dead husband again? How dare you? Well, baby, time out, baby. I took the university job, Angela. And then he knocked her on the forehead. It was so funny. I love it when he did a little tap.
You're so stupid. Well,
but, all right, maybe he didn't do that.
But you know.
But he wanted to.
But then it got really cute then, because then they all sat down for dinner, which we never really see on soaps anymore. The two kids came home to find their parents, you know, like canoodling, and they were all just like, "Yeah, what are you celebrating?" Like, and I loved it. I love seeing the Hubbards as a family. I love when they all sat down for dinner, and Frankie was just like, "Well, Mom, I can't stay. I got to go to the hospital." And Cassie was just like, "Well, more food for me." I was like, "Oh, God, that's so funny."
He loved it.
I love the Hubbards. I loved it. And then Angie was like, "You know, tell your son to eat something." And Jesse was like, "Don't offend your mother." And then he grabbed like a piece of salad or bread or something. And she's like, "Boy, that ain't a meal." And he's like, "What? You want me to grab the chicken? And should you grab the chicken just because I'm black?" I was loving those scenes. My God. The Hubbards killed me. I was like, that's what this show is about. Family, relationships. That seemed all real to me. I thought I was watching reality. They were so good together.
I still want Cassie and Jesse to make out.
Yeah, she was telling me this storyline idea, and I don't like it. I think it's gross.
Listen,
first of all, because
it's not a storyline idea. It's the elephant in the room, people. The elephant in the room.
I think that's too trite. I think that's too predictable. And you know what? He looks like her father. That would be disgusting.
That's what would make it interesting.
No.
It would be like an Oedipal complex.
Oh, no.
Except in reverse.
Oh, we're not Greek, please. No.
Mm-mm. Anyway. Well,
I don't like that idea.
Well, we leave the week with them happy as clams.
Yeah.
Right?
Bonding and happy as clams. Even though the last final scene was Angie overhearing Jesse tell Cassie that he made this choice for the family. But you could tell that Angie knows that.
Yeah.
You know. So we know he'll be a police chief eventually, I think.
Do we want to talk about Tad at all?
Yeah. Tad has some. You didn't like those moments, but they were, you know, Michael Knight can do no wrong.
I'm not saying I didn't like them. I'm saying they didn't. I know you wanted her to be a brat to me, because it's not real her to be so perfect and like,
you know what,
that damn cake she brought him that said "Welcome home, Daddy."
You know what's not real to me?
That's not real.
You know what's not
that's
real
fake
to me?
That's stupid.
Speaking about fake and stupid, you know what that reminds me of? Brianna Moncrief.
Oh,
new Kobe. Dead behind the eyes. Ooh. Listen. Let me tell you something. How they cannot realize that they made a mistake and get Amber back is beyond me. Even General Hospital admitted it a couple of years ago when they messed up.
Let me preface this for y'all, because we here at the Pine Valley Podcast, we feel like we have some integrity. We feel like we have some scruples. We generally attempt not to insult the actor, but the character.
No, I'm insulting the actor.
All right. We're gonna say it like it is. The reason why, though, is because it's not like this is a fresh cast like Randy, who you and I disagree with a little bit.
Yeah, we agree. We disagree on Randy.
This is a replacement of a fine actress.
Who was doing a great job, and there was nothing wrong.
I don't mean fine like adequate. I mean fine like excellent. She was an excellent actress. I don't care what anybody tells me. She took Colby from the nastiest, most obnoxious brat to a thoughtful girl who still once in a while kind of, you know,
was a little self-absorbed.
Yeah, or flummoxed or whatever. But she was real and three-dimensional, and she had development, and we rooted for her, and we liked her. It makes no sense. Listen. I feel bad. I do. I admit to y'all people, I feel bad about it. I don't like being here like saying an actor sucks, because, you know, if they hear people saying things like this, that's hurtful. I'm not trying to hurt anybody, but I don't like that Amber was hurt. I feel like Amber was hurt over this. It doesn't make any sense.
Of course she was hurt. She was fired.
They're trying
to make it seem like she quit, but she was fired. It's that simple. She was fired.
Well, we first saw Colby with Tad. Tad was talking. He, as Jordan mentioned, he's leaving detecting to be with his family. And he tells Crystal this, and Crystal's very concerned, and she looks beautiful in that blue dress. Oh my God. And she's holding baby Jenny, and I love baby Jenny so much. She's almost my new favorite. She's so adorable. And she looks like
kids.
Crystal and Tad. She looks like
you
them.
Thought so?
I do. She
I
has Crystal's
she like a
coloring.
Cartoon character from Popeye,
no.
But
oh my God. Oh, shame on you.
Goon Island.
He's going to hell, viewers. He's going to hell.
I'm sorry, but they had her hair all up in that little ponytail. And it went, she didn't look cute like Pebble Flint, so she reminded me of the goons from Popeye.
Well, anyway, that is terrible. I adore this little girl. I will eat her up with a spoon. Shame on you, Jordan Hudson. Shame.
Oh, don't give me shame. You called my Palmer chompers. Don't even give me that.
Palmer's 122 years old.
So she's like 5 months. She don't know what I'm talking about when I say she look like a groom on Goon Island.
Anyway, we first were forced to view new Colby when Colby brings in Katie. And she sees Katie playing with Tad. And she says, I'm going to cry. I've never seen him so happy. He finally found his little girl.
Okay, I told you. Too much emotion.
I tried to flatten it.
No, you're giving too much emotion. You're going to imitate her. Imitate her right.
And then Kathy gives him this freaky, like, red rum cake. You know the red rum. It's painted in red on the walls in The Shining. That's what that writing looked like. It looked like the red rum letters. It was ridiculous.
You're on crack. I
would be frightened. Actually, that would be appropriate.
What?
If Kathy was like a little psycho, you know, because of all the trauma, and she started writing on the walls in that lettering. I would love it. I would love it. Tad shows Kathy her room, and it is so grown up. I feel so bad for Kathy. It is like painted orange and yellow and autumn colors.
Make it a little girly room for her eventually.
All right, fine.
And did you see when he was showing her like the little markings of like how tall she's gonna get to do that?
Yeah,
and then he mentioned that he was gonna take her to the grandparents' house so they could see all the uncles and aunts when they were. Didn't that house get like crushed in a tornado like in 1995?
I don't know. I'm so confused.
I love when they do little silly things like that that make no sense.
Anyway, that's about it for Tad. Anything else we got on that?
No, but let's talk about this because we disagree on this, and I like when we disagree because we have a nice healthy debate.
He pulled my Frankie page way before I was ready to. I had Frankie as the last item for discussion.
I'm gonna come out and say it. If Amber was playing Colby, I would want Frankie with Colby. But Amber's not. I do not want my Frankie wasted on Brianna Moncrief. I want him with Randy.
Brianna Moncrief.
Whatever. I like my Randy. She's not the most fabulous actress, but at least she's not dead behind the eyes. She got some pretty eyes, too. She's a hot-looking girl.
That's the only reason why is because she got them possessed devil eyes.
You're not going to possess devil eyes.
I don't know no black woman with eyes that pale.
She's probably possessed. Mulatto. She's mixed.
She possessed. No, not even Vanessa Williams has eyes that blue.
She is gorgeous.
She's beautiful.
I think she's really beautiful.
Listen, you cannot cut her up. She's beautiful. Impeccable beautiful.
And let me put it this way.
She can't act.
No. I disagree with you. Let me tell you something. When Kim Delaney started,
I'm gonna go to hell for this, aren't I?
Well, you are. When Kim Delaney started on All My Children, she was not the fabulous actress that won an Emmy for NYPD Blue.
But she has character, she and personality.
She had a spark. She
and
had
cute
something,
legs.
And that's what we liked about her. And I'm not comparing her to Kim Delaney as Jenny, but I'm saying that there, for me at least, there is a little something about Randy that like she is not dead behind the eyes like Brianna Moncrief. Okay, at
Brienne.
Least there's something there. There's something going on. When she speaks, her eyes light up. Unlike Brianna Moncrief, that's
they roll behind her head.
They just all go
she
black.
Possessed.
She looked like one of the Stepford Wives. The whole eye goes black and the pupils all black. Everything's black.
We are going to hell.
I liked Frankie and Randy this week. And you know what? When Frankie grabbed her, and I know she should have been screaming because he was grabbing her arm.
Our viewers are so smart and astute. They know if the woman is abused, she should flinch.
I know, but you know.
If someone grabs her.
But you know what? All I know is that when he grabbed her, he was like, because I want to help you.
Jordan.
And he was all.
Jordan.
What?
You're hurting my arm.
Oh, shut up. I'm not hurting your arm. Listen.
He was grabbing it so tight.
He was grabbing her. I was there. I thought there was some chemistry between the two of them. And the way he was looking at her and the way he was. Oh, I was feeling him big time.
I'm going to tell you people
what
happened.
I would have confessed everything to him. I would have been like, I'm a hooker. I love you. Let's get married. He was hot.
I'm going to tell everything.
He was hot. What?
It started with Jake and Richie getting ready in that locker room. And that I liked. Those two hot young doctors.
Do we miss a scene where Jake decided that he's working in the hospital?
Yeah, I don't get that.
Where all of a sudden is he working in the hospital?
You got to tell us because we don't know.
When did he get shifts?
Well, I noticed in Friday's episode that Frankie said to him,
yeah,
why are you here today?
What the F you're doing here? And then he goes, oh, I'm here on a consultation with a patient, but I have to leave, so can you do this one? If you're here on a consultation with one patient, then you're only on that consultation with that one patient.
He is so ass to people. I didn't even catch that.
Because he gets all up in Angie's face when he's not even a doctor there. Yep. Yet he's running around in scrubs. I don't get that. Do I love me some Jake, though?
Well, Frankie quizzes Jake about Randy, and Jake gives him some words of wisdom from someone who's been there. And then what happens? He takes her for coffee and she accepts. She don't look like no prostitute. No.
She asked him out for coffee so the cops wouldn't see her. And then once the cops were cleared.
Oh, then she didn't want to go.
Yeah, she didn't want to go. She dissed him. I laughed at her.
Well, anyway, why was she dressed like a corporate CEO if she's supposed to be a prostitute?
Because she's servicing high-class clientele. Ay, yo,
give me a break. So they go to the Pine Valley Marina, where everybody in Pine Valley is going these days, on the beautiful Pennsylvania coast. And I think they were giving away... They must have been giving away a free sofa or something at the Pine Valley Marina. Maybe that's why everybody was going there. Yo, IKEA opened in New York City in Red Hook, and they were giving away free sofas. And wouldn't you know it, all these people be lined up. They put out tents to get that free $399 couch. I swear to God. So I thought maybe that's what the Pine Valley Marina did.
You're so stupid. They did not.
They're giving away something because every single scene is being shot there.
I like
more
it,
than
though.
Once. I like it too.
I don't know. Maybe because you got the high definition TV. Whenever they do the unlocking, it looks green a little bit, like a little grayish pale. I don't know.
Yes, I think that's it's the high definition thing. Television. It must be.
Do you get that on your high definition?
It must be.
On my screen, it looks grayish.
No. It's the seaweed in the Pennsylvania coast. It's the algae and the seaweed buildup.
And it makes everything look gray?
Along the coastline, yes.
Even the sky and the people. Everything looks gray and green on my screen.
No, that's just Adam. Somehow things seem to get cast a shade darker or two when he's in the scene. I don't know what it is.
No, come on. Is he really leaving?
I don't think so.
Oh, see? You don't get my hopes up high and tell me things like that. You're, the other week you were saying
it's a rumor, but no one knows yet. No one knows. Anyway, Randy rejects Frankie's ass. And I don't believe it for a second. And I keep thinking of the great actress...
Candace Early, who played Donna Beck,
who played a prostitute. Now, if you're going to play a prostitute, you got to, who's rejecting all this help, as the actress, you got to know why you so angry and mad and pissed off and all of that stuff. I don't think she does. She's just reading lines.
I like her.
Oh, God. I got to ask you a question.
What?
The reason why she's on the show is because she's beautiful.
No. I like her.
Oh, my God. That's no, please. Try to take off them goggles for 1 second. He got them rose-colored goggles.
Hot.
That's fine. I got no problem with that. But listen, you will not find on One Life to Live an attractive girl.
That's horrible.
They are all ugly girls. But.
Bree Williamson is pretty.
Oh, she's beautiful. Sorry.
Tika.
Yes, Tika, too.
Adriana, who just left.
She gone.
I don't care. She's still hot. Robin Strasser.
Listen, all them people you just named, I'm going to tell you one thing.
What?
They're beautiful. I agree. But they're not models. Like, they're not size 2. They're not chisel-faced. They're girls that are beautiful girls that could live next door to you.
What?
My point being, time out. My point being, model, Yaya. She's a good actress. She ain't great like the girls on One Life to Live. The girls on One Life to Live call at. They ain't nothing to look at, but I will watch them every day.
Why are you saying
every
that?
Every day.
You know who I don't like on One Life to Live?
Natalie.
No, I don't like Natalie. But I don't like, what's her name, who plays Gigi, Farrah Fath or
Thank
whatever.
You, that hairstyle?
The girl from
1982.
She was really big on Days of Our Lives, and I don't get it. And I find her annoying. But that could just be because I like Adriana, and I'm mad that
Melissa
Fumero's gone.
Is that all my children loves to hire models. That's all I'm
But we
I'm
already
saying.
Discussed that. We already know that Judy Blythe Wilson should be fired.
I'm tired of it. Oh, we didn't tell you the end of the story. It's dumb.
Her pimp beat the shit out of her, and it ended with Frankie finding out that she is a prostitute because Jake was like, here's, can you take this client because I'm off duty or whatever.
Yeah, but you didn't tell them how she freaked out when Frankie was trying to help her, and then Frankie ends up spilling coffee on her jacket, and she points out the tags.
I love that.
Come back today.
I thought that was so funny. I love
it. And Frankie was like, what the hell? I'll pay for it and shit.
Well, see, and you cut me off. I was going to tell you, I was going to agree with you. No, not now, before. I was going to agree with you about
what?
About girls looking more natural and real, like next door, looking with. Because I'm Latin, I think a woman looks good when she has some meat on her.
I love the women on One Life to Live. I'm joking about their looks. They're beautiful, but they look like they could be real ladies.
But that's why you should watch MVP, because the virgin girl, she's a real woman. She got some meat on her. She does not look like a. That's what I liked about MVP. The women were, they look like women, you know?
All right, I'll take it.
I was like, there was even one woman who was sleeping with the dog hockey player, the player. And she was in her little, like, you know, because she was riding him, and she was in her little, like, panties and bra. And she was solid. I was like, I could not, because, you know, in American TV, they would never.
Never.
The girl would have to be like a skeleton. And she was gonna be on her panty. And here she was, a natural, hot-looking, thick woman. I was like, work. Love me some MVP.
People, don't you go writing me and tell me how mean I'm being about how ugly the girls are on One Life to Live. I take it back. I'm just kidding around. All right, they're beautiful. I agree. But if you thought about it, if you really thought about it, they're not cover girls. They're not models. They're not Alicia Minshew or Rebecca Budig or Yaya, any of those girls. They're normal looking, beautiful, normal sized women. That's my point. But I'll take them because they can act and they make me laugh and they make me cry and they move me. And I feel great when I watch a show because I feel like I've watched a real story.
It makes you feel like a natural woman?
It makes me feel like a natural woman. Woman! I can't sing.
All right, neither can I. All right, Kobe, Adam, and JR.
Do we have to?
Look, I like the Adam and JR part of the storyline. Kobe annoyed
me. Is it true about JR?
Obviously.
No, Barry seriously. Never,
what? What?
There's got to be more to that story.
That he's the one who planted the...
Yes, Barry is saying, Barry, the eternal Barry.
He's been his attorney for like 50 years in the show.
Evil eye Barry. He tells Adam that JR was the one that leaked the photo.
Oh, I believe it.
I don't believe it.
I do believe it. And you know what? I love when JR came in and JR was like, if this is Chandler business, then you need to be talking to me. I'm the one with the... I thought that was great. I liked it. I like all of the Adam and JR stuff. And I like the fact that Adam covered it up by pretending that they were talking about Richie and not JR. I like where they're going with the storyline. I like the fact that JR is trying to take over the company for his father. That's great. I love it.
I don't like that JR has to pretend he actually likes his new sister.
I know.
And I'm not talking about Kathy.
He was like, you're still my favorite sister. That's a horrible thing to say. You should love both your sisters equally. I didn't like that.
People, I am this close. This close. You know how we have a campaign, bring Katie back?
Bring Amber back. Look, this is the last thing I'm going to say about this. General Hospital made a mistake similar a couple of years ago when they got rid of the original Maxie, Robin. I think her name was Robin Richards. And they replaced her with some trampy older girl because they wanted to age the character. And they brought on this, like, blonde hoochie mama that was, like, way too, like, you know, wrong for the role. And after a few months of the fans being like, this is not our Maxie, and, you know, and obviously the girl could not act, they brought Robin Richards back because they were smart and they realized it. Now, All My Children needs to do that. They need to admit that they made a mistake and bring Amber back. It's that simple. They cannot tell me that they're looking at this Brianna Moncrief and not realizing how bad this is going.
They know. I'm telling you, I believe that they know.
Then why not do something about it? Swallow your pride and get Amber back.
I don't know.
Because I can't believe
don't
the fans are not complaining.
There's more to
are you guys
story?
Not complaining?
Is there more to this story?
Like what?
Did Amber do something to piss somebody off behind the scenes? Did
I don't
she
know.
Have contract dispute.
Did she have a blog and spoke her opinions about
I
the
don't
show?
No, it seems.
It
weird.
Seems that that gets you fired. That gets you some peanut butter pancakes.
Well, anyway, this Kobe gave it the old college try. She tried to act up a little storm. You could see her little brain working so hard to try to act those scenes.
Because those curls were just getting tighter and tighter. She was getting madder and madder.
She tells Adam, I don't want to be anything like you or like Mom. If you want me back, you'll have to change.
Too much emotion.
Estelle?
That was more emotion than the last time you did her. No. And then she says, like, between you and Mom, like, What was it she said? I gotta give up on love. What was... She was annoying me. I couldn't... I think Terry in Toronto in the blog said the same thing after the episode aired. She was just, like, over that scene and that Kobe. And I agree with her 100%, Terry.
I'm gonna need to go to church. Terry, where
Terry said she's going on vacation. Terry, where are you going? You gotta let us know. And I'm serious about going to Canada.
We got some good quality stuff up there, T. We have a lot of Canadian listeners. We had press coverage in Canada.
I love me some Canadians. I love Canada.
Do you know, look at my vision board.
Ooh, she has a Canadian flag.
I have a Canadian flag on my vision board. Y'all people should have a vision board. You people watch Oprah. You people read The Secret. You need a vision board. My vision board's a little bare, I'll admit. I don't have much up on it right now, but I'm going to build it up. You got to put things that you want in your life to happen on your vision board. You people got to put stuff up on your vision board. I see you all interested in my vision board.
Yes, it's bare, but it's not the Canadian flag.
I'm
but
working on it, but I guess do. That's what I you want to do. Canadian you want to go to
Canada.
Flag.
You want to go to Canada.
I do. I love I do Canada. Too. I really do. I actually really
I don't
do.
Understand why.
I went to Nova Scotia 2 years ago. I loved it.
I have not been. I want to go.
I loved it.
You guys gave us Friday the 13th, the TV series, too.
You guys
I love
gave
that.
Us so much.
And you let us
just like
Xbox
Kids in the Hall said. Canada is like America without guns.
And they gave us the Ashmore twins, too, and I like them.
I don't know them people.
Sean and Aaron Ashmore. They're two Canadian young actors. Whatever. You need to, like, broaden your horizon.
You watch everything. I asked him today. He said he watched MVP. He watched One Life to Live every day. He watched GH.
DVR. I don't watch GH anymore. Oh,
you watch GL?
I watch I watch GL and As World Turns. I only watch GH when Jeannie Francis comes back.
Don't you have a job?
Yes.
So then how you be watching all this TV?
DVR, girl. I don't know how I survived without my DVR.
As I was saying before, I feel the need to go to church.
Why?
For complaining about Brianne.
I don't feel guilty at all. You know what? You put her on there. We're here to criticize. That's all.
She wasn't ready. The poor thing wasn't ready.
Okay, next storyline.
I really want to talk about Zach. I adore me some Zach.
Why don't you say that for last? Because that was the best stuff.
All right.
Let's get through all this boring stuff.
Erica.
No, Erica's the next second to last.
We
I like
don't
Erica.
Have a lot of time.
Then let's go through this boring stuff. Blandy, Greenlee, and Kendall. Knock it out, girl.
We got little pieces of Greenlee. We got little pieces. Oh, we got her talking to Adam. I guess he took her home from the hospital after the whole brouhaha with Richie. And so Josh unexpectedly stops by to get his cufflinks.
That was the only scene.
Oh, the only.
That was the only scene.
The only.
That is. Adam felt so small. Oh and I mean God. Small.
I thought it was, and it was very interesting because Adam, he was like, Greenlee, did you sleep with Josh?
Duh.
Which means, Greenlee, did you sleep with Josh?
Like, he couldn't tell with that grin that Josh had on his face.
I thought it was very ass too of him. And, ooh, I loved it when Josh kissed Greenlee goodbye on the cheek.
That was some... Let me tell you something.
You can listen. There's kissing on the cheek, and there is kissing on the cheek. You know what I'm saying? That was a kiss on the cheek. That made me tingle.
How they are not using this boy every day.
Oh, he's so hot. Oh, he's beyond
the hot. They are so wasting talent.
I have to tell you one thing.
What?
I felt bad for Adam. Ow! I knew he was going to hit me.
I'm going to be Billy Clyde Tuggle to your Randy.
Oh, my God.
Wouldn't it be funny if Billy Clyde is her bib? He survived that fall.
Well, I felt terrible because... All right, so... Adam tries to get her back and he fails and she just cold heart rejects him. And then he comes back in and he grabs her and he's supposed to give her like this passionate, like Paul Newman style kiss. This is what it was like. Psh, fizzle.
I think Terry and Toronto said it or somebody said it in the blog. They were just like, even Rebecca couldn't make that work. And it's true.
Oh,
it was hideous.
So sad. I felt terrible for him.
You know what I felt for him?
What?
Over. That's over. I didn't put anything for him. I was glad.
I love the Kendall and Josh scenes in the beginning of the week.
I love Kendall when she's with her family.
Yes.
That's the only time I'm liking her lately.
He's so right, people. That's what he's right about. He's right about
I
that.
I like Kendall when she's with her family.
Mm-hmm.
I liked her when she used to be with her other brother who you didn't like. I like her with this brother.
Sam. He was ridiculous.
No, he wasn't. Oh, I love Sam.
That story was so ridiculous.
I like Sam.
I love Kendall with Josh. She was trying to convince him to have more sex with Greenlee, and Josh did not bite. He did not bite. He told her to go knock on Greenlee's door and try to talk to her. And then dumb Ken Doll, who I love you people. You came up with Ken Doll, D-U-L-L. That is a perfect
that was
name
funny.
For her.
I like that.
Kendall's like, if she slams the door in my face, what do I do? And Josh says, give it a good hard knock. And I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. And of course she does. She goes.
Because he was not going to be Ethel to her Lucy with those
hells
stupid schemes.
No, he was great. He was so, so great. And Kendall actually goes and knocks on Greenlee's door. And they talk about Crazy Blandy, who we'll talk about in a second. They talk about Crazy Blandy, and then they bond. And I actually really, really liked those scenes when Kendall started putting eye makeup on Greenlee. How are we on such different pages, Jordan Hudson? He's shaking his head at me.
You know why? Because yet again, it's like, where are we going? See, this is my problem with these storylines. Where are they going with this? I wanted to live this
story.
This is not a journey. This is like floundering. They don't know what they're doing with this Kendall and Greenlee. They don't know where they're going with this Kendall and Greenlee story.
No, this relationship is not going to be patched up overnight. Look, Greenlee is much more complex than that.
I'm over Greenlee and Kendall. They are not a super couple.
I am almost over Blandy. Although you people were taking me to task a little bit because all don't think that Blandy should be called Blandy anymore.
No, and I'm going to take you to task too because you know what? I've said this before. We need a bitch on the show. Not a crazy bitch. We need a bitch. And this is where the writers are messing up. They're making her as insane and nuts as her brother is.
As Janet from another planet.
I mean, do they not know how to write a woman who is self-absorbed and desperate and wants revenge for being scorned anymore without going the psychopath route? It seems like every soap opera makes when they have a character that could be like a great villain, you know, they turn her into a psycho instead. And I just don't get it. You're wasting it. Blandy's in a position right now where she could be the bad girl. She could be like the female Tad the cat, sleeping around with guys to get back at like Ryan and you know what I mean?
Yep.
I mean, she's a woman scorned. She's a woman treated like dirt by her husband who's fawning all over his two ex-loves. I mean, and instead they're going down the easy route, making her a psychopath and writing her into a corner where you're going to have to write her out. And I hate that because you know what? I'm liking her now because they're giving her something to do and she's working with it.
She's a really good actress, people.
She is.
She's a good actress. She's trying to make this dumbass storyline work, but it's getting away from her. And I'm going to tell you right now, just like Jordan alluded to, they wrote Richie into a corner.
Mm-hmm.
Now Richie is bye-bye, bye-bye. We will see that happen very soon. As we all know, that's not even a spoiler because everybody knows.
I know, but your source told you it was a stupid storyline. That's what you told me, right?
Well, I know the stupidity of it, believe
you
me.
Because the people in the blog want to know, but I'm like, we're not going to tell you guys.
I'm not telling.
Be surprised. Well, you won't be surprised. It's so stupid.
Well, you will be surprised, but you won't be pleased.
There were so many ways that you could have gone out with this.
Dumb.
But whatever.
So anyway, what was I saying? Oh, so yeah. So, you know, they're writing her into a corner because mm-hmm. she has now this week, people, asked Richie to kill Greenlee, basically, to get rid of Greenlee.
Jordan, waste of an actress, waste of a character.
Jordan is speechless.
Waste of an actress and a character. That's all it I'm really going to say. I'm really, really upset because I like her.
Well, I mean, there's not really much to say except that at the beginning of the week, she does break into Greenlee's apartment. She's just sitting there. And Greenlee's freaked. And Rebecca, this is why Rebecca, she's so brilliant. She's just so brilliant. Like, she knew better than the kind of really sass Blandy. Because you don't know if this woman's unstable or whatever.
Yeah.
And Blandy actually, you know, to her credit, she actually told Ryan the truth. Because Ryan calls her and she goes to see Ryan. And she basically threatens Greenlee and stuff. And she looks like she wants to kill Greenlee.
And but, I don't blame her.
But she actually tells Ryan the truth about where she was and about her knocking those dishes to the ground. And I actually believed her when she said that. Like, I actually believed Blandy that of course, anyone could get upset or stressed out. You know what I'm saying? I've thrown many a plate in my day.
There you go.
And I haven't been so nice about it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. So, let's see. Oh, people, we got to reiterate here. On this particular evening, the reason why Blandy is so freaked is because she got a one-shot time chance to get pregnant. Right. She's ovulating. And y'all ladies know, you get one day, all right? As far as I understand.
Sock it to me.
You get one day to go. And so she knows this, and so she's panicked. And I'm wondering, how does this woman get this man to have sex with her?
He a man.
No, that's not true. He's weird about her. He's weird about her right now.
No.
They're not close right now. He's still in love with Greenlee. He's a little weird about her.
Well,
anyway, she was so good. She did it by telling him the painful truth. She was just like, why did you block out me? I'm afraid if you get the surgery, you'll figure out that you never really loved me. He's crying. Why are you crying?
I like the storyline.
Honestly, I did like that. I thought it was great. And she gets upset enough, and she gets crazy enough, and she gets desperate enough that he takes her in his arms and he makes love to her. And I bought it. Thought it was good. Thought it was good.
Who's watching Emma?
That's what I want. Well, no, she mentioned that though. She mentioned that. She said she'd gotten a sitter for Emma, and that's why she was mad at Ryan.
Okay, whatever. Because I was like, we have not seen Emma in months.
You can talk about Erica. I don't care for the storyline. You talk.
Okay, we differed on this storyline too.
Big time.
Big time. I still love the campy factor. I still loved it. Erica did her big broadcast, like, at the prison. She did her New Beginnings in Prison or whatever it was called.
It was a huge success. We did it. New Beginnings numbers were higher than ever.
Samwood showed up, Jack too. She put Samwood in the spot by making him the first guest. And yes, it was predictable. I knew it was going to happen.
But I love one thing about it.
What?
I loved all the sisters watching Erica in the hood. They were like doing the hand pump. They were like doing the hand to the fist, elbows to the side, elbows to the other side.
The audience?
To the top. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I love. I love
hand pumping. They were going, you go, girl. You go, Erica. Yo, yo. You go, girl.
I love that, like, every time Erica said it, they were like, ooh. Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, no.
Well, because Erica.
They did not. It was like listening to the audience of Married with Children.
It was great.
But see, and I was going to say, as predictable as it was, because you didn't like this, because you kept calling it Sydney Brady. I don't remember that episode of the Brady Bunch, but I knew that Carmen, because as excited as Carmen was.
The show was ridiculous.
The fact that she was so excited, you knew she was going to freeze when she realized she was on TV.
But this whole thing was so silly.
I liked it. I thought it was funny and cute.
You know, and then Erica's talking about, Erica says, you know, the reason I decided to do this show was because people have written to me and said, Erica, how could you be with those people? Well, let me tell you something. I'm in here. So now I'm one of those people. And let me tell you something about those people. And she gets on a soapbox and blah, blah, blah. And all the girls are like, yeah, Erica, yeah. Girl.
And you know what? It was amazing because it's Susan Lucci and she can't do no wrong as far as I'm concerned. I loved Tuesday's episode. I loved all that storyline. I was loving it, loving it, loving it, loving it, loving it, loving it. And my warden was there. And I love my warden.
That New Beginnings logo looked like a Rorschach. Did you see that?
It's in prison. What did you want?
And the music.
It's in prison. What did you want?
And Samwood says to her, Erica, where's your dress? Why aren't you dressed? Erica says, oh, no, Sam. Oh, no. I'm in here. I'm one of these girls. I'm one of these women. I could wear a fancy dress. Sure, I could. I love to dress up as much as anyone else. I love to wear all the fabulous gowns and rich jewels. But here, I'm one of them. Or something like that. I don't know. It was like so silly.
Well, this is the interesting stuff that happened. Because I like that Tuesday. But then it was the other day. I don't know if it was Thursday or Friday. But then what happened was Carmen.
After Carmen froze on air like Cindy Brady. Dumb.
The governor, dumb. Jack comes to tell Erica.
Stereotypical,
and Carmen,
stupid, dumb.
Jack came to tell Carmen and Erica that Carmen, that a judge saw, or the judge saw that it was going to open up the case or whatever. So Carmen's going to be free, and she starts freaking out because she realizes she don't have nothing when she gets out, you know, except for Erica.
And I liked it.
The most ingenious thing to come down the pike happens. Erica decides that she knows the perfect person that could get Carmen a job, and that person owes her. And of course, we know who she's talking about because the next scene is Adam and Colby. Now, this is why I get upset because
I hope they don't put it with Colby.
No. This is why I'm getting upset because as much as I'm hoping this means that Carmen is going to stay on the show, because I don't know about you guys, but I want Carmen Sugar Morales,
I do too,
Elizabeth Rodriguez, to stay on the show.
I want her to have a third dimension.
I want her to be on the show as
with
a regular.
A third dimension.
Well, first you need to get her out of jail to give her a third dimension. And I think the whole process of her growing up and getting real, you know, a life going is to get her more involved with the other characters. Now, the thing is, with Chuck Pratt coming on, or what did we nickname him?
Up Chuck Pratt.
With Up Chuck Pratt coming on, he might not want to write for the character Carmen. He may not want the Carmen character around. And that's why I can't get excited right now, because I don't know what's going to happen. But the idea of Carmen working for Adam Chandler is the potential for storylines.
What if Carmen fell in love with Adam Chandler?
That's what I'm saying. The potential of storylines that could happen.
Too bad Stewart's taken.
You know, it just irks me because
maybe Petey.
I want Carmen to stay on the show. And I thought when Erica said that, I was like, oh my God, Carmen working for Adam Chandler. She will drive Adam crazy. And yet this might not happen with a new writer. And that's why I get upset. But that's what's going to happen right now. It seems like Erica's going to get Adam to pay back the favor by getting Carmen to work for him. So that's what might happen.
Zach and Richie. Or Richie, really.
Our last storyline of the week.
Yes. We got to wrap it up, too. Oh, at the beginning of the week, we had the whole thing with Zach bumping into Richie in the hospital. And he goes, sorry, man. And he remembers. And it wasn't quite as dramatic this week as it was last week. But he does bring Richie back. And Babe comes back, and they get Trina to come back, and basically then they have because he's still injured, right? So they have Richie in the room, and they have Zach alone with him, right? Mm-hmm. Doesn't Zach choke him? Yeah, Zach chokes him. Mm-hmm. So, and Zach keeps remembering, and those young cops were so funny. I did like the young cops. I mean, they were like, oh, they were so funny. They announced they gave the news that JR Story match, but then they said that they couldn't let JR go because they still had holes in JR's story about what happened with him and Richie. And so then Zach, oh, I love Zach so much. He comes in as JR's alibi. Oh, that man is smoking hot. He was cool like a cucumber when he did that too. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'll be your alibi, sure. He's like, sure, I was with him. No problem. I'll give you my statement now, officer. Top of the morning, do ya? I don't know. Zach goes straight to Greenlee the next morning to tell her the news, and then they bond. That was a nice episode, right?
Yeah.
Why don't you talk about this? I'm tired.
No, you. This is your storyline. I talked about my storyline.
All right. Well, they have a whole personal episode, and I'm a little sick, though, people. Please tell me you agree with me. Greenlee, every time someone says, how are you? She's like, my life sucks. My fiancé slept with my best friend. And
she's everything. Debbie Downer from Saturday Night Live.
She really is Debbie Downer.
She is. She's very Debbie Downer.
I want to be that good looking in life. You know why? If you are that
good looking, I know,
but listen. Taylor used to say that.
Did he really?
He used to say that. You have something special about you too, Ashley.
No way.
Anyway, listen. I want to be that good looking because you can be that good looking and bitch and moan every second in your life and people don't care.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Okay. She, at the end of the week, she sees Ryan and he asks her how she is and she gives him the same line. My life sucks. My fiance slept with my best friend and I am left with nothing, but whatever.
Whatever.
So as this whole sort of thing with Richie continues, basically like the DNA that Angie took last week tested positive for JR's bone marrow, you know, and Greenlee and Zach get there and everyone is there to confront Richie and JR gets all crazy. He wants to do vigilante justice. And I did love when Zach warned Ryan that justice needs to be served. Zach is pissed. He keeps thinking about being in that hole, and he keeps thinking about what happened with him and his wife and all this stuff that happened, the chain of events, and he is angry. And then Babe talked to Richie, and I don't know. Richie was really creepy. I got to tell you, it is such a shame that this actor is being written off the show Billy like Miller. This. Billy Miller. Yeah, it's really a shame because he's so talented. You always want to know what he's going to do. And
maybe he has a twin brother.
Anyway, basically, Richie threatens Blandy because he knows a secret. So he tells her that she has to get him out of jail and blah, blah, blah. And I liked when Kendall asked Blandy about breaking into Greenlee's. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Blandy goes, Greenlee's totally overreacting. It was so nothing. I just like let her know how I was feeling. What happened today? Blandy goes to jail.
Mm-hmm.
She bails him out.
She bails him out.
And we think he's getting out.
But he's not. Because who's there waiting for him?
The goons. The guards bring him and he's like, wait a minute, where are you taking me? And they're like, they call for Zach and they're like, he's all yours. And then Zach comes out of the janitor closet.
And Zach's like,
grinding. He is going to hurt. He's not going to kill him. He's going to put a serious hurting on that boy.
Oh, we forgot one storyline.
What?
Ryan finds out from Jake that he really can't have this like mysterious procedure because he has some kind of like chromosome thing that will make him maybe die.
Another nail in the coffin for Blandy.
But Ryan is determined no matter what to do
Someone does not want Blandy to have her husband back.
It's so stupid.
Mr. Brian Franz, who told Miss Rebecca Buttig at that lunch meeting one wintry day, if I bring you back, I'm not going to keep you with Adam. I will put you back with Cameron. And she said, Brian, that's the only way I'm taking the job. Do not put me with this British. Do not match me up with this British. Telling you right now, I will walk. You better promise me that you're hooking me up with Cam. Cam or Colin. But not Adam Turner.
I want her with Jake or with Josh. I want her with one of those.
I love me some Jake.
And Beth Ellers is not playing Liza. She was in this week's Soap Weekly. I forgot the name of the character she's playing. I don't know. Somebody from Africa. So obviously somebody that's going to be involved with Jake. I wish I could say that I remember the name being Carolyn. I read the article so fast because I'm sorry, people. I don't buy Soap Opera Weekly. Ever since Mimi Torchin left, I refuse to waste money.
It's got to be Carolyn.
It's a horrible magazine. So I just go in the shopping mall and I just lift the magazine up and flip through it and read as much as possible.
It's got to be Carolyn.
Well, anyway, that's what she's playing. And I disagree with this idea. I mean, they might have been all that on Guiding Light, but again, it is shown on other soaps. General Hospital tried it with Nancy Lee Grand and Lane Davies. It didn't work. They tried it with, Stephen Nichols and Mary Beth Evans. It didn't work. Just because two people are a super soap couple on one soap, it doesn't mean that they're going to have the same electricity and spark and lightning on another soap. It just doesn't.
I totally agree.
One Light to Live did it in the 80s. They got George Reinholdt and and Jacqueline, what's her name, who were the original Steve and Alice from Another World, brought them onto One Light to Live as Tony and Pat. And guess what? It didn't work. So I don't know. I'm very upset about this.
I agree. I think it's weird to go back to. Why are you going back to something that happened somewhere else,
I don't know. Yeah. And bring Dylan Casey onto All My Children and One Light to Live at General Hospital.
He's not going to do that. He's on MVP.
The Canadian shows are not like American shows. They don't do it for like 50 years to the point that you hate the show.
I know, but
I'm telling you. We did not need that last season of Roseanne. Oh, that ruined that whole run of that show for me.
All right. Well, that's a whole nother podcast.
But Dylan Casey,
Well,
MVP.
I'm afraid to give y'all our email address this week or our website.
Why?
We're going to get a licking this week. We're
going to get Brianna Moncrief?
Yes, her agent. All right, listen.
Well, show me that she has light behind her eyes, fine, and then I'll apologize.
Fine. Listen, if you want to send us your nasty letters, you do so by emailing us at pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com, or you can go to our MySpace page, www.myspace.com/pinevalleypodcast, or you can go to our website where you can link to our blogger page and you can put your little comments there. You can go to the AMC fan space. You can check out some other links. That's at www.pinevalleypodcast.com. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And here's a little something just for you.
We're going to take him outside, and we are going to look at the stars, and we're going to listen to the crickets.
Oh, honey. Listen, don't you think maybe it'll be a little too damp for him out there?
Oh, will you stop? Now, don't. John and I, we're tough guys, right?
Oh, you're tough guys.
Yeah, we're tough guys. Oh, good. What time do you have to get to Chateau?
Soon.
I wish I could be there.
Me too.
I'll make a promise.
What?
When John is old enough, I swear he and I will have ringside seats at every performance.
Don't you think our baby would get a little bored listening to me sing every night?
Bored? What are you talking about? No way.
Well, maybe when he's a teenager, okay?
Oh. Do you know what I'm going to do when he's old enough? I'm going to teach him. I'm going to teach him how to ride a bicycle. I'm going to teach him how to play baseball and football and...
Chuck, you really are a wonderful father.
I don't want to be more than that. I promise I'll be a good husband. I want to make you so happy.
Oh, I am. I didn't think it would ever be possible to be as happy as I am.